Shalom and welcome to Parashat Vayechi. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to Parashat Vayechi. This is my week bar mitzvah. Many years ago, at this week, I read the whole portion and it was my bar mitzvah, a very important moment. It's a moment you don't forget. This is how you enter the Jewish tribe and you become a man. You can also complete minyan for prayers. It's a different status. And the custom in the bar mitzvah is that you read the whole portion, some read a bit less, and you give a sermon and you talk about what you read. And I'm telling you this, when I was younger, I read this week parasha, and I thought it's a bit less interesting than the other parashot in the book of Genesis. Think about all the action and drama that happened from the beginning of the book until now. This is the last week parasha, the last parasha of the book of Genesis, and we're standing where with a story that is a bit, let's put it this way, not many things happen. In the beginning, Jacob comes to his son and he asks him to go and bury him in the land of Israel. Then he gives a blessing to Ephraim and Manasseh. Remember the twisting ends. Then he gives a blessing to all the tribes. And there's the big funeral, a conversation between Jacob and his brothers. And that's about it. A weekly portion is finished and Joseph is dead. And we're going to start off with the book of Exodus. And we're going to talk about the story of the slavery. When I was more learned, and I've learned the text and I understood something very profound. This week starts with a very different way because it's a blocked parasha. What does it mean? It means that last week parasha, if you look at the scroll of the book Sefer Torah, you will see the end of the week parasha. There's not even a gap in the text, and you continues the parasha. This is called parasha stuma, a blocked parasha. And the reason, according to the commentaries, is because that was the time where Jacob wanted to give the prophecy to his children, what will happen to them at the end of time. But as he was dying, God took away the wisdom, the prophecies, and he couldn't do that. Because it was this block, the portion is blocked. But indeed, inside the week parasha, there are many, many clues, a lot of things that are mystical. And if you really read between the lines, there are a lot of prophecies in it. And one of them comes from a story I want to share with you. It's a fascinating story that really inspired me in many ways. Starts off with to say that I was born and raised in the city of Netanya in a neighborhood called Nordo. Nordo, named on the person Maximilian Nordo, Max Nordo, who was one of the chief Zionists in the movement in the beginning with the time of Herzl. You can Google him. A fascinating person. He was an author, a philosopher, a doctor. And he decided to leave everything behind and go engage with the Zionist movement. And the story how it starts comes with the connection to this week parasha. At the first assembly of Zionism, Max Nordo has a privilege to stand in front of the crowd and give a speech. Now, Max wasn't at all a religious person. He was a Jew, of course, but, you know, like many other at those times, the Enlightenment time came and changed them. They wanted to be integrated in the society, and many of them left the old-fashioned traditions. He was a very modern person, very learned person, scholar. So his tradition wasn't so strong. And yet, when he gave this lecture at the assembly, everybody was shocked when he quoted a verse from the book of Jeremiah. And the verse, of course, is the famous from this famous story of the tears of Rachel. And Jeremiah prophesied about the time that when the children of Israel will go to exile, they will pass through the tomb where Rachel is buried. And then she will cry, of course. God will stop her and says, you do not need to cry. Prevent yourself from crying because I hear your voice and they will come back to their border. They will come back to their land because of your tears. Okay. And when Max stands there in front of the crowd, he shouts three times the words Veshavu Banim Legvulam, and the children will come back to their borders. It's actually a verse we say here a lot of the times about the hostages. It's a very famous verse. But one of the journalists came to him after that and says, Max, we know you. You're a doctor, you're a smart person, but you're not into Jewish biblical verses. Why are you quoting this verse three times and in Hebrew? What's your point? He says to him, because of these verses, I'm here. And now it's a story inside of story of how he became part of the Zionistic movement. So Max Nordau had a clinic in Paris. He was a doctor. And one day, a knock on the door, and a mother and a child are freezing cold going inside, and the kid looks that he's almost dying. The mother comes and says, this is my son. He's very sick, doctor. Can you treat him? He sees immediately they are immigrants from Russia that just moved there, very religious, Jewish appearance and everything. And he comes, but he doesn't like it. And while he treats them, he gives them criticized. You should be more modern. Change the way you look. Change the way you act. You got an opportunity here to be integrated in the greatest city of Paris. You need to be part of the culture. The way you act is not from the ghetto, from the shtetl in Russia. It's not relevant. So he continues to treat the kid, and when he sees the kid is really in bad condition, he tries to ask him a bit of questions. And the first question, of course, is, what do you learn in school? And suddenly the kid opened his eyes and he says, you know, doctor, I only learn Torah in school. I learned in a Talmud Torah, a place that you only learn Torah as young children. Okay, Max is not happy. What can I say? You want to share something you've learned? And the kid is so happy to express, and he begins to really quote what he've learned. He said, in this week, we learned about Parashat Vayechi, this week portion. And we read about a very interesting concept, because Jacob asked son Joseph to go and bury him in Israel. But not only to bury him, he asked him to swear he will bury him in Israel. And the commentaries asks, why is he so, you know, pressured about it? Why does he ask him to swear? He said he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He says because Jacob was worried. You see, Jacob didn't bury Rachel in the tomb of the patriarchs. Actually, she died on the way next to Bethlehem, and he buried her only there. He was upset that maybe Joseph would say, you want me to go and bury you in Israel when you didn't go 20 minutes to bury my mother in Hebron? So he had to explain himself. And he says that between the line, what Jacob says to Joseph is much deeper. He says to him, do not think that I didn't love your mother. You know how much I was close to her. But that's the thing. I saw in my prophecies, I saw in my vision that one day our children will be exiled from Jerusalem. And Jeremiah will talk about it, that when they will go through it, they will go through this best city of Bethlehem, and they will see, Rachel will see them, her spirit will see them, and she can go up to God and cry. And because of their crying, God will promise her that he will bring them back home. You see, that's the kids telling Dr. Nordau. He knew that he's burying her not in Hebron because there was a purpose there. There was a promise there. And the prophecies of our children that will return to their home was at that moment. So Jacob says to his son Joseph, listen, I know exactly what you think, but it was for a reason that I buried her on the way. Because of that, I want you to respect me as well and go bury me in Israel. Because of the prophecies of Jeremiah, because of the prophecies of Rachel, because that this is the place when we will be asked again to pray and call to the return to our borders. Veshavu banim ligvulam. When the kids finished this long sermon, Dr. Nordau begins to cry. And when the mother and the child live, he looks at himself at the mirror and says, how could it be? Me, I'm an old person. I'm knowledgeable. I'm successful. I know so much. And yet, I know nothing about my Bible. I know nothing about my heritage, my tradition. This kid, he says to the journalist, taught me that if the people of Israel educate their kids and in their Bible, they continue to learn about the prophecies of one day our children will go back to their borders, they will be redeemed again. They will return to their land, and I want to be a part of it. And the next day, he says, when I was sitting in the cafe in Paris and I opened the newspaper, I saw an ad. If you're interested in the calling of bringing the children of Israel back to their land, I'm looking for an assistant, Theodore Herzl. I decided to leave my practice, stop being a doctor, and I went to be the second in command to Dr. Herzl as well. And this is why Veshavu Banim LeGvulam was such an important piece of my sermon. That was the practice of wisdom that the prophecies of the nation will indeed return back to their homeland. That's the story of Max Nordor integrated in this week, Parashat Vayechi. As I said, in this week, Parashah, many, many secrets. And it's important to read it exactly now, because this enlightened moment of a lot of light and prophecies and wisdom of the future will be changed next week when we will see the darkness, evil of exile in Egypt. I can't wait to go to the next part of the journey in the book of Shemot, and I want to thank you for being with me in all of this book of Genesis. Shabbat Shalom.